Looking to stand out from the pack at your first job? When you earn a master's in management from Georgetown, you'll gain the skills employers value most, elevating your career prospects for years to come. Get started at choosegeorgetown.com/MIM.
It's the Smart Driving Cars Podcast. I'm Fred Fishkin, along with the Faculty Chair of Autonomous Vehicle Engineering at Princeton University, Alan Kornhauser. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Fred.
Good day, just before the holiday. Now, first up, it's been a very long year for Uber. On March 18th, one of its autonomous vehicles with a safety driver on board struck and killed Elaine Herzberg in Tempe, Arizona. We've spoken so many times about that tragedy. It then suspended its testing, but as of today, the testing has resumed in Pittsburgh, and more testing is planned in San Francisco and Toronto.
Yes, well, I guess, you know, they're trying to prepare themselves for an IPO, and in preparation for the IPO, they really need to be at least indicating to the investment community that they are making progress with driverless, because otherwise the expectation of the size of the company, profitability, valuation, and so on, I think is quite different if they have a driverless a real driverless mobility opportunity or not. So, you know, this is part of them preparing themselves for an IPO.
And Uber is saying that it's laid the groundwork for creating what it says is a lasting safety culture. It created, for example, an internal tip line for employees to report safety issues and ensures that they're being addressed. It's also funding researchers working to spur development of independent driverless safety tests.
When I think they have to. I think they realize that they have to do safety. They have to be safe, because if they repeat what they did in March, I mean, it's over for them. So they have to be safe.
In the meantime, TechCrunch is saying Lyft, Uber's rival with another IPO coming, is getting more serious about autonomous vehicle safety with a new hire. That, again, is according to TechCrunch. Lyft has announced the hiring of John Maddox, founder of the American Center for Mobility and previous associate administrator of vehicle safety research at the Department of Transportation, to lead its autonomous vehicle safety and compliance efforts. At Lyft, Maddox will be the company's first senior director of autonomous safety and compliance.
Well, I think hiring John is, again, a very wise move by Lyft. I think of the world of John. John's a really good guy. He's been in this business for some time. He fundamentally understands safety, and I think that's a good move, and I'm happy to see John landed with Lyft. He's done a lot of very good work in his career, and I think will be a very good addition for Lyft.
And when we spoke last week with Ralph Nader, Alan, he was really concerned about a bill in Congress that still supposedly had a chance. He said it would give companies testing autonomous vehicles too much leeway. He was opposed to it. Now looks like that bill is not going to be voted on in this Congress.
Yes. Well, I mean, again, the Congress is taking it slow. And as we've discussed, I think they should. We're still so very early in this process. And I think that the realization of the industry that it has to be safe. And, of course, one of the things that the Congress should not do is provide limits on liability to these companies. In other words, in case they're not safe, letting them continue to survive. I mean, one has to hold a really good and big stick over the head of these companies to make sure that they are safe, and not give them the opportunity to have some limits on liabilities associated with being non-safe. I mean, those things exist for Amtrak, and as we saw in the Philadelphia derailment, you know, there the Congress had put limitations on liabilities on Amtrak. Not that that's made Amtrak not be as safe as it should be, but my goodness, at times one could argue that Amtrak is not as safe as it should be. So definitely the Congress should not do that.
Well, the government is doing some things. The Federal Transportation Administration has announced $16.6 million to improve transit access in selected communities around the country. One of those happens to be Greenville County in South Carolina. We've got some friends there, right?
Yes, and I'm happy to see that Fred Payne, who's worked tirelessly for years trying to provide some public transit mobility improvements in Greenville, is finally able to get some money out of the FTA. He's also gotten some funds out of the Federal Highway Administration and to really bring some real improved mobility and to the mobility disadvantaged in Greenville. So hats off to you, Fred. Congratulations.
The other Fred. Local Motors,
yes.
Local Motors, a company that that we're very familiar with, has opened an autonomous vehicle fleet challenge for the greater Washington area. This looks pretty interesting.
Yes, and Jay Rogers there is really trying to put some demonstrations out there in various cities and as well as the University of Buffalo. To test and demonstrate the mobility with their Ollie vehicle, and congratulations to him in expanding that, and hopefully we'll create a welcoming environment in Central Jersey and allow him to also come to Central Jersey to provide us with some mobility.
Some companies we want to talk about. Bloomberg is reporting that BMW and Daimler are considering a partnership when it comes to developing autonomous technology and electrification, apparently.
Yes. Well, I guess many of the OEMs are teaming up. We had Honda teaming up with General Motors recently. But I guess with respect to Daimler, one wonders whether or not they really want to do driverless or they want to do self-driving. I think I make the same comment with respect to Audi's efforts. Yes, self-driving so that we can take our hands off the wheel and feet off the brakes some of the time on the cars that we own, but that yet sit in the driveway or the garage or the parking lot, you know, 96% of the time. Absolutely, you know, that's their business model. Whether they're really interested in developing driverless mobility machines, as we're calling them, that are out there working most of the day moving people around, I don't know. I don't see it in their announcements. I see what they're doing as really continuation of their current business model to sell high-end vehicles to all of us. But let's wait and see what happens.
And you mentioned Audi. It is, the Verge uses a headline, Audi pulls the curtain back on its self-driving car program. So it's revealing a little bit more about what it's doing.
Right, and really, they are doing self-driving, and self-driving means that, in fact, we own them, we sit behind the wheel, and every once in a while, or maybe a little bit more often, we take our feet off the pedals and hands off the wheels. This is completely different business than creating a driverless vehicle that is out giving me a ride, giving you and I a ride, giving me and my next door neighbor a ride, giving anybody a ride, or being driverless and taking me from my house to Newark Airport this morning on my flight to Los Angeles. You know, it's a completely different business model, completely different business. Maybe they're going to be in the go into the rides business as opposed to the hardware business that we then, you know, leave sitting around most of the day. We'll wait and see what happens there.
Well, another company we're familiar with, Nuro, has now deployed autonomous delivery vehicles without safety drivers in partnership with Kroger and Fry's food stores, and this is going on in Arizona. This is really interesting. The Times, in its headline, called it a toaster on wheels, these delivery vehicles.
Well, the delivery vehicle doesn't have a steering wheel. I don't know if it's this one that they put a rear-view mirror on it, because a motor vehicle, at least in one of the states, says that the vehicles have to have a rear-view mirror. So instead of trying to getting an exemption, they just slapped on a rear-view mirror. But whatever, that's these are, you know, truly driverless vehicles. Whether they're being remotely driven or not, or to what extent they are actually doing the driving, it's not completely clear. What is clear of the demonstration is that while there isn't a safety driver on board, there's a trailing vehicle that is monitoring the operation and basically behaving as the safety driver in a separate vehicle behind it. So it's very much of a demonstration in probably the most accommodating area in the world for doing that, you know, the suburban Arizona with an area which probably has very little traffic and so on. But, you know, that's not to to diminish their accomplishment. You have to get started someplace. And this is a start. And we're at the very beginning. When we look back on today, we'll say, oh, my goodness, what amount of redesign was in the vehicle and how to handle the goods and so on and so forth. But it's a start. And so hats off to them for actually going out and at least doing a start.
And we should say anyone who's in that 85257 zip code can use the Fry's Food Store's website or a mobile app to get this Nuro vehicle to bring groceries. And the fee for this is a flat fee, $5.95. No matter how much you're buying. So pretty interesting. I wonder if it's going to be good for business.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what they charge. The cost of doing the service is, oh, my goodness. It depends on how you want to depreciate or allocate whatever the development costs that have taken place so far and so on and so forth. So in a sense, you know, pricing at the beginning is whatever you want. It doesn't matter. It certainly doesn't mean that 10 years from now that's going to be the price, or might be higher, might be lower. But anyway, that's there's really no substance in any of that.
The interesting thing is that they're doing this and it's off the ground, right?
That's the most interesting thing, that it is actually doing it and it's off the ground and it's not just talking about it. It's actually doing it with all the warts and whatever and so on. But this is how one starts. And look, if you look at the Benz patent of 1886, it certainly doesn't look like an S-Class down in that you go look at in the showroom. So come on, you know, it is the very beginning here.
And then there is Anthony Lewandowski, the former Uber engineer, controversial.
And Waymo
that.
Engineer and
right.
and Google and DARPA 2005 challenge.
Well,
yes.
The Guardian is reporting that he claims to have built an automated car that drove from San Francisco to New York without any human intervention. More than 3,000 miles, started at the end of October and finished 4 days later, went from the Golden Gate Bridge to the George Washington Bridge. What do you think of this?
Well, except for when he wanted to, you know, stop and sleep and take and go get gas and so on. So there was human intervention there. And as he clearly states, this is self-driving, not driverless. And his objective is to do self-driving, not driverless, with an attendant. And he was the attendant. And Pomerleau did it in 1995 in July, essentially the same thing, drove across the country. I don't know how many Tesla owners do similar things, maybe not all the way across the country, but parts of the country, every day or on a daily basis. So, yes, it's an accomplishment, but it's self-driving, not driverless, and he's promoting it as self-driving, which is good. He's promoting it for the motor carrier industry, which is very interesting. And he is, I guess, proposing to do do an aftermarket technology suite that he will put on trucks. To basically allow for self-driving trucks, not driverless trucks.
Very interesting. So I guess we'll see what comes of that. And he certainly got some headlines with this.
Well, he got headlines. My problem is that if anybody looks at a startup that's actually going to do aftermarket in the motor carrier industry, one has to be rolling their eyes because there's tag along implied liabilities associated with such things, and all it takes is one who knows what, whether it's this thing's fault or not, and all of a sudden you get dragged in there, and so the potential liability exposure is so great that it kills the business case of any startup doing this. So I don't know what his angle has to be, that he's going to do something and then he's going to spin it to somebody else to then try to make a business out of it. But as a startup business, boy, It's that is not an easy business to do, even if you have the technology working, even if it's perfect. Because if you go in there and you modify something and something happens, you get dragged along. So unless Congress goes says no drag alongs, but they're not going to do that. So I don't know. It's a business case as a spin. It's not a business case as a standalone company.
That's something.
My opinion, and what do I know?
A lot.
No, I don't. Although one other comment, he calls the darn thing Co-Pilot. Did he check any trademark infringements associated with using Co-Pilot?
I've heard that name before.
Have you ever heard that name used before? I wonder who used that. Whatever.
Very interesting.
What
have
can
you
I
call,
say,
have you
Fred?
Called your lawyer yet?
No. I sold the company, so I, you know, what? Whatever.
Well, that is it for this edition. We're wishing you, our listeners, and you, Alan, a wonderful and warm holiday.
Absolutely, and thank you, everybody. And I don't know if we're going to do another one still in 18, where we see people in 19, but maybe we might as well do one next week, too, of course, Fred, right? What
sure,
would we do?
Absolutely, and there's a lot to look back on.
There's an enormous amount to look back on. My goodness, what a year. We do have liftoff. We haven't cleared the tower yet. But we at least have a liftoff. So let's hope things keep moving, but 2018 was a good year.
And you can find us at smartdrivingcar.com, now on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and more. Ask your smart speaker to play us too. You can find my tech reports at techstination.com. I'm Fred Fishkin, along with Alan Kornhauser. Thank you for listening.